Last week, we looked at the return of the Lord on the white horse, overcoming evil and wickedness, when he destroys the political beast and the religious beast. And then we saw the devil grabbed by an angel and dropped into hell for 1,000 years. And we looked at the millennium when Christ would reign here on earth and the earth would be just like it was when it was created, just like the Garden of Eden. If you want a pet lion, you can have a pet lion. And nobody will tell you you can't do that, okay? If you don't want a pet lion, you don't have to have a pet lion, okay? But it'll be just like the Garden of Eden. Everybody will be friends. Every animal will be friends. There'll be no more fear. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is turned loose for a little while. He rounds up all of those who have never experienced temptation, those who succumb to temptation. And so Christ and all of those with him, he defends from Jerusalem when it is attacked from all sides. And he destroys the devil. Like, he gets him out of the world. He's cast into the lake of fire where the beasts are. Then there's the great white throne judgment. Everybody is judged upon, not everybody. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are judged. You and I, if we know Christ, are not judged at that point. Our judgment was on the cross 2,000 years ago. And so we need not fear judgment. But because we love Jesus, we want to please him. We want to glorify him. That brings us to tonight. The great white throne judgment is over. All of those souls who do not know Jesus are in the lake of fire with the beast, the religious beast, the political beast, and the devil. And that's where they will spend eternity. So, we get another glimpse of what is to come. And I sort of like what we're going to see. I hope you do too. I hope you're looking forward to it. If I can get my glasses out of my pocket, we may actually get to the message. There we go. Okay. It's awful when you have to have an engineer to get your glasses out of your pocket, isn't it? So the final battle has been fought. The great white throne judgment has been held. Now is the setting up of eternity future. This is where we are going to be. Chapters 21 and chapters 22. They are all dealing with the same thing. And we are going to get some glimpses. Some of it will not make sense. But other parts of it will make a lot of sense. So let's start with Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, for those of you who like the beach, I've got a very disappointing piece of information. There will be no more beaches. for there will be no more seas. That's what it says. For there was no more sea. New heaven, a new earth. And coming down out of heaven is the new Jerusalem. Remember that at the end of time, when Satan and all the people that he had deceived and tempted attacked Jerusalem, when Christ destroys them, he destroys the earth and he destroys the heaven. Yes?
Where are we if there's no earth and no heaven?
We are with him wherever he is.
Okay?
We're with him. Once we leave this earth, we will ever be with him, no matter where he is. If he's just in a void, we are there with him. But I think this transpires pretty quickly. I think he creates it with a word, just as he did the original creation. And so the sea has been a type of virtual unrest ever since he made it. And so there is no more sea, because there's not going to be any more unrest. Then from the new heaven, we see the new Jerusalem coming down from God. And this is going to be the place where we, you and I, are going to spend eternity. Wow. He's going to give us a little glimpse tonight of what this is going to be like. Now, we have very finite minds, and so it's going to take a little thinking about. You might wonder, how many people have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? In your opinion, how many people do you think, maybe over the course of all of history, the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints, millions, millions. I don't know if it'll be billions yet, Becky, but possibly it could be. You might wonder how all the saints are going to fit into this new Jerusalem that we see coming down out of heaven. It is actually shaped like a cube. You know, you play Rubik's Cube. It's like a cube. It's 1,500 miles across. It is 1,500 miles deep. It is 1,500 miles high. Yeah. That's exactly the description we have here. You'll see it in just a minute. Now, if you take 1,500 times 1,500 and 1,500 times that number, the number that you get is over 3 billion. Over 3 billion cubic miles. Is that going to be room enough for everybody? I sure would hate to have to mow the grass. Fortunately, there isn't any. At least I don't think so. This is going to be the tabernacle of God. This is where God is going to live. This is where we are going to live. And according to verse 3, God is going to be with us all the time. He's going to wipe away any tears that we have left over from all the things that have happened to us in this life. I would imagine that at one time or another, every one of us in this room have shed tears. I know men are not supposed to cry, but we do, folks. And rightly so. There are times when we should cry. Jesus cried. Remember, looking on Jerusalem, Jesus wept. I will be so glad when my heart is like his heart and I am able to weep over the same things that he wept over. And one day that will be too. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no pain. We will just be with God. Everything is going to be perfect. That brings us to verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Wow. What a privilege. And you know, right now, we are his son and his daughter. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In these words are the first pronouncement that it is finished. When Jesus on the cross said it is finished, he was looking back at the law and he was looking ahead to the New Jerusalem. The temporal things have come to an end. Everything is to be eternal from now on. I can't imagine that. Everything eternal. There's also an assurance that the wicked people of the earth will not be there. We will have no thought of them. We will not remember a single thing that happened to us on this earth, other than we got saved. Jesus has won the victory for us, and we are going to be among the overcomers. Every one of us. Verses 9 through 15. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. God is proud of his people. When he made the agreement with Abraham, and when Jacob came along and had the 12 children, that was a very special event for God. You've got an entire Old Testament written about it. Verse 13, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Remember how we started out chapter 4 of Revelation? John was on earth during chapters 2 and 3. Jesus was dictating to him his message to the seven churches. And at the end of the Laodicean church, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4, the rapture takes place and John is now in heaven. At that point, he saw 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones. 12 of those elders were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. 12 of those elders were the apostles. They will always be remembered. God is faithful. God does not forget what people have done. He has built everything on those 12 tribes, and now he has built the rest of it on those 12 apostles. Very special. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I'm sorry, I skipped some verses here. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So now we are given a description of the New Jerusalem. It's fabulous. We cannot imagine it. We'll not comprehend what we're told because it's too splendorous for our finite minds to grasp. When you think of heaven, what do you think? Do you see the vast array of colors? Colors, some of which you have never seen. When you look at a rainbow, you see a narrow band of color. It goes from infrared to ultraviolet. But beyond those colors, there is so much more. So much more. And we will be able to comprehend it. Heaven is going to be a glorious place, a color-filled place. Have you ever been awed by a sunset or a sunrise? And you just can't help but stand there and say, oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful picture he's painting for us. If you've ever seen the Northern Lights, you've seen the same thing as you see the light and the color ripple down what looks like icicles hanging in the sky. From greens to blues to purples. It's just gorgeous. It's God. God wants to please all of us, and he's going to give us the color to do it. Now, it's obvious that he does have a special place for the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. The 12 tribes, there is one name over each gate for the 12 tribes of Israel. There is a name on each of the 12 foundations under the New Jerusalem, and that's the names of the apostles. New Jerusalem is built upon what they have taught. That brings us to verse 16. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. It is a cube. And a furlong, just in case you've ever wondered what a furlong is, it's 1/8 of a mile. Or 220 yards. Okay? If you will multiply that out, 12,000. 1/8 of a mile. That's 1,500 miles. 8 into 12,000. Got you doing math now. So, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And that comes out to over 3 billion. Isn't that something? There's going to be room for everybody. I don't know which level I'll live on. I don't care. As long as it's the level that Jesus is on, and we all will. All of us will be with Jesus all of the time. And it goes on to say the building of the wall is jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto glass. I don't know if you've ever seen a lot of pure gold. In Saudi Arabia, when I was over there, they have what they call gold souks or gold shops. It's like a Clark shoe store for gold. Okay. And you walk in and there's just gold everywhere. All kinds of gold. There are belts, there are vests, if it can be made out of gold, it's there and it's made out of gold. There are swords, there are shoes. There's everything out of gold. And when you're looking at gold, it almost does look transparent. When the surface is just absolutely smooth. And so it talks about the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chancery, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardox, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth Christophus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. What a sight. What a sight. Just think of all of this. You know, we place a big value on gold. It's pavement. Nothing but pavement. I don't know if you noticed, we had the parking lot redone and restriped this week. So just imagine, you know, imagine if it was gold. Sometimes you think it is gold when you have to pay for it, but everything is going to be of unimaginable beauty. And God and Jesus are going to be in the very center of this new Jerusalem. They're going to be the focal point for all of us for the rest of eternity. We won't have to think about self. We won't have to worry about our kids or our spouses. We won't have to worry about anything. We will just look at and behold and worship God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Just imagine that. For all of eternity. I can't imagine it because I think in time. Everything's in time. Like we started at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be done about 7. But there won't be any time. Just all of eternity, just eternity going on and on and on. And we will be with God. So we're being given here a glimpse of our future abode, the place where we're going to find rest and peace for all of eternity. It's from this passage of Scripture that so many hymns come from. Have we ever sung, "He the Pearly Gates Will Open"? Remember, those gates, it says those gates will never be shut. He won't be opening them up. He doesn't have to. They're already open, waiting for us. Most people don't know the names of all the gems that we just talked about. But what it tells me is that this Jerusalem is going to be a place filled with color and amazement. Have you ever watched a crystal chandelier and seen all the different, these are not crystal, by the way, but to see all the different lights and glimmers. People drive down the highway, and sometimes the sun hits something they've got hanging from their mirror, and you get a flash of color that hits your eyes. Everything is going to be filled with color. There's not going to be any black and white. I don't know if any of you are colorblind, but you will not be colorblind anymore. You will see perfectly in all of this color. Can you remember walking into a new home where you're going to live and doing a walkthrough inspection and marveling at everything you see? You walk into, oh, look at this beautiful kitchen. Look at all the counter space. Have you ever done that? Yeah, some of you have, some of us haven't. But walk into a motorhome and say, where's everything belong? You know. But we're going to do that with heaven. In fact, God is giving us a chance to do that right now. He's telling us what we can anticipate when we get there. I know there's always the excitement of discovering new features, new appliances, new ways. Oh, look, this light turns on and automatically and turns off when you leave the room. And all these things. What do you think God has for all of us in heaven? Wow. Verse 23 through 27. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. What a precious book that is. I'm so glad that my name is written there. I'm so glad that your names are written there. And the thing that we should be doing, the thing that we should be concentrating on, is to see that other people's names get written there also by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine the light of God's holiness lighting up every niche and corner of 3 billion cubic miles. Wow. It's going to be white. What a glorious light of God's holiness there. Think of all the people who's going to be there. Think of each one now perfect in the Lord. No more crippled or mentally handicapped. No ugly people, but each one perfect in the image of God, just the way He wants us. Each one. If this chapter doesn't get you excited, there's something wrong. Because people, this is where we, you and I, are going to spend eternity. This is where we're going to be with God. Once everything is all over, once everything that we have looked at in this book of Revelation, once the final battle is fought, and all wickedness and evil is destroyed, you and I are going to transition into this place called New Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to live. Now, he wants you in this chapter to stroll through heaven. What we call heaven. It's actually going to be the New Jerusalem. And we will be with him. And if he wants to take us for a walk on earth, we'll go with him. If he wants us to walk in heaven with him, we'll go with him. Wherever he wants us to go, he is going to take us with him. And we have a promise of that. This is not just me telling you this. Let me share a promise with you. It comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18. 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18. It is the next big event that we are all waiting for. But I want you to see the way it ends. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Having a bad day? Tell yourself, "I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Maybe I can't be with him right now, but the day's coming when I will be." And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the Lord to come back and take me. I'm waiting for him to come back and take all of you. I don't know how we're going to penetrate this roof if we happen to be in church when he comes. I don't know what he's got planned for us, but it's going to be fantastic. We don't have a glimpse of how he's going to do these things. We are told that we will be like him. Remember what happened with the apostles when they were locked in that upper room after his resurrection? Suddenly he appeared with them in that locked room. Didn't go through the door, didn't go through the ceiling, didn't go through a wall. Suddenly he was just with them. We're going to be able to do that same thing, because it says we will be like him. Don't like where you're at? Just think yourself to someplace else. Yes, Becky.
Will we know each other?
Yes, we will. That's one of the things that people ask a lot is, will we know each other? We will not look like we look right now. But you have been told the truth in God's word about how to recognize someone. When the Bible tells us that the eye is the window of the soul, you will recognize people by their eyes, by their souls. You will recognize the soul. You will sense the presence of the individual with you. You do that now. And that's how we will recognize. I wondered how we would recognize, but after making a film at Bob Jones and I didn't recognize anybody by their facial features, you'd walk around looking people in the eye to say, "Bob? Charlie?" Because we all looked different. We had shaved, we had cut our hair. And you are the same way when you meet high school people that you went to high school with 3 or 4 years ago, right? Do you recognize them? Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. I know when I went to my, what was it, Connie, the 50th reunion? I recognized the kids, almost all of them. I recognized them. I couldn't put names to all the faces, to all the eyes. But I recognized him. You've got to remember, I was 120 pounds in high school. And I haven't been that in a long time. But they recognized me too. Okay? So you will. You'll recognize him. God's going to take care of that. So, We've looked at the New Jerusalem from the outside, seeing it coming down from heaven. Now let's take a look at it from the inside. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Wonder who his servants are going to be. Oh, that's us. That's us. We're going to serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You mean I can get this tattoo off that says idiot? How refreshing the waters of life must be. They flow from the throne of God and of Jesus, referred to as the Lamb. We're told that there are the streets in New Jerusalem, and on either side is a tree of life. Now stop for just a minute and think of the full circle that we've come. Adam and Eve were created in the garden, of Eden. They were created perfect. They could eat anything they wanted to eat in that garden except one tree, and that was the knowledge of good and evil. They had available to them the tree of life, but they didn't choose to eat that one. And I'm so glad they didn't, because had they eaten from that tree of life, they never would have died. Yeah. That's one of the features of the tree of life. You live forever. And that would have meant that once they sinned, they never would have died. They'd have just gotten older and older and more corrupt and more corrupt. So it was a good thing they didn't eat, but they chose to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. So the tree of life is going to be there in the New Jerusalem. We're going to be able to eat it. We will never die. When you're hungry, go grab something. 12 manner of fruit every month, different one. Now, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden because of their sin. And an angel with a flaming sword was put to guard that tree. That's how important it was to God. Now he's going to open it up. We've come full circle. Now we can have that tree when we get to New Jerusalem. Verse 6 through 11. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. That was the angel with the seven vials of the wrath of God. Then he said unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, the prophet, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is just, let him be just still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. John seems to have the right idea, because when he had seen all these things, the only thing he knew to do was to fall down and worship. And that's what we should do when we see God and when we see God working in our lives. John was not to seal the prophecies of this book because God wanted you and I to be able to read them and to comprehend what we were reading. We're just going to be in a nice place, folks. Not quite the Hilton. Not quite the Hyatt. Much better than that. Verse 11 tells us that things are going to be the way they are because men like the description of them in verse 11. God has a plan, and he's going to work his plan very shortly. According to biblical history, man and the earth is somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 years old. Moses wrote the first book of the Bible about 1,500 years before Christ walked the earth. We are now living 2,000 years after that. Folks, the end of time has got to be very close. It's got to be so much closer than we can realize. Yet, we are still waiting. Revelation 22, 12 through 17. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth to make a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Jesus wants us to have this information. And he has sent his angel to tell John about it 2,000 years ago so John could write it in a book. And we have been looking at that book, and we are looking at the end of that book right now. And this is Jesus' letter to us about it. He closes his book with a warning to us. A lot of times, we take each other for granted. In November, Connie and I will have been married 55 years. And if I was to tell you I didn't take her for granted sometimes, I'd be lying to you. I expect her to help cook my meals. I expect her to do the laundry. I expect her to keep a clean home. But I want to help. And you're probably the same way. You want to help your mate do what they're here to do. But God gives us a warning because we tend to take people for granted. I expect certain things from her. She expects certain things from me. I am sometimes surprised when she does things that I don't expect. Sometimes I'm embarrassed when she does things that I don't expect. like take out the trash. Little things. Things that we take for granted. So that we will not take God's word for granted, he gives us a warning in the very last closing verses. Beginning at verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If we add anything, if I add anything, all the plagues of this book could be put against me. So we are to be very careful with how we treat the word of God. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then he closes with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That closes the book. That's it. Any questions or comments? We've been given, yes, Becky, go ahead. Yes, I think we will. Let me ask you a question. If you're just sitting around on the front porch in a rocking chair, will you be happy doing that for the rest of your life? How about it just doing it for 30 minutes? Okay, I might be able to stand 30 minutes of it, but I don't think I could stand an hour of it. And the Lord knows that. What was his word to Adam? By the sweat of your brow shall you eat your meat. Work is what we were made to do. It will be that way in heaven. It will be. We will have jobs to do. We'll be worshiping God. We'll be serving God. I don't know what he needs us to do. But what does he need us to do on this earth? He's got a job for every one of us. And it's just a matter of locating that job, finding that job, and doing that job. Yes, ma'am.
You said we'll be in the New Jerusalem, and that's in heaven. But also the earth he has fixed for people also. Well, who goes to earth and who goes to heaven?
There has been some speculation about that. Who will live on the earth? Remember, this is a new earth. It's a new heaven. And it's a new Jerusalem. I think we will be at liberty, if he chooses to walk around heaven, to walk around heaven with him. If he chooses to walk around the earth. I think the earth is fascinating the way it is right now. I love to see the different flowers, the different colors, the different sunsets, the different bugs. I like bugs. The different animals. Every one of them are so fascinating. I don't believe, as long as I live, that I will ever get bored with what God has created. I found a walking stick the other day. Well, really, Joseph found it. He was afraid of it, so I picked it up and showed him. Diana would have been running. A praying mantis, just a little green bug about that long. Praying mantis, sitting there with his front feet. What a marvelous thing. If you ever get a chance to look, ladies, if you can stand still just long enough to look for a minute, you watch. And you move around that mantis and he can turn his head 180 degrees to watch you. God made it. God made it. And he made it for his enjoyment, for our enjoyment. Everything that he has done was for him and for us. And folks, it's a marvelous world we live in. Yes, there's sin. Yes, there's some ugliness. But folks, when we get to the New Jerusalem, I can't imagine what's going to be there. We will never get tired of looking. Never. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we are so excited in our hearts about the place that you're going to prepare for us. We know it's not ready yet, and we're not ready yet to be there. But Father, we look forward to the day when we will be with you, when we will be with Jesus. And Father, when we know that we will spend all of eternity with you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you for buying us back from the devil. Thank you for loving us enough to care about us and to buy us back. And Father, help us to love you sincerely enough that we will serve you according to your will, and that we will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ before others. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.